that your kingdom come, let your will be done in this place as it is in heaven. And I'm wondering if you would mind coming up here. I'll tell you the reason why. Your husband, come on up, come on with you. I wonder if you'd just move over there. We'll park her right here. Come on up. Now, I want to have people who are in a wheelchair like that up here, because one day you're going to jump out of that wheelchair, and I want everybody to see when that happens. I'm believing God for that. That we're going to see that. This could be the day. I want heaven. You know, there's not wheelchairs in heaven. An administration of heaven coming to earth means that these things are dealt with in our midst. We're praying and believing God that we will see the kingdom demonstrated upon the earth in a greater measure than what we've ever seen before. And that includes people being healed of all kinds of things. It includes more than that, but that's included in it. And it's wonderful. I want to just go over a few things this morning concerning what the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven, or what the kingdom, I shouldn't say using the term kingdom of heaven, I should be using the kingdom of God, because what I want to get across to us is today is the kingdom of God upon the earth. When we say kingdom of heaven, we think up there. But I want us to think kingdom of God upon the earth, the administration of the kingdom of God here upon the earth, or what the kingdom environment is like and how it is to be manifested here in our midst. And Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it speaks to us very clearly about what the kingdom of God should look like. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eat or drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So let's think about this now. When we pray that God's kingdom would come upon the earth and rest upon the earth, we're asking not for us to be taken away from here and to be taken up to heaven, but we're asking for his kingdom to come to earth. Therefore, if we are believing now, we've been born again, we've come into the kingdom of God, we'll say, in that measure, as far as being born again, and we are new creatures in Christ, then righteousness and peace and joy should be operating in our lives and in our midst. Righteousness, peace, and joy is a characteristic of the kingdom of God that is to be demonstrated upon the earth. And of course, when we say righteousness, we speak about the righteousness that has been imparted to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He, Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him." That's awesome. That's wonderful. So we see that now, we recognize that, we realize that we are now righteous before God because of what Jesus has done. We have claimed what Jesus paid for our lives. Therefore, when we look upon ourselves and see whether we are righteous or not, we look to Jesus. Is Jesus righteous? If Jesus is righteous, we are righteous because his righteousness has been bestowed upon us. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eat or drink. In other words, it's not a matter merely of these material things that we see on the outside, but it is of righteousness, peace, and joy. So we must have an understanding of righteousness. If we realize that when we've come to Christ, we say, "Jesus, I so desperately need you. Jesus, you have done more than anyone else ever did for me. And Jesus, you're the Savior of the world, and I realize I need a Savior. Therefore, Jesus, come in and save me." And when we do that, we can't be saved without unrighteousness having being dealt with. We cannot walk in the kingdom of God as a saved individual without having unrighteousness dealt with. And all our works and trying to deal with our unrighteousness, the scripture says, is nothing but filthy rags that you'd throw away. So the only thing that we can do in order to deal with unrighteousness in our life is to lean on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and receive his righteousness and declare that we are righteous because of what he has done for us. So there's nothing you are ever going to do that'll ever make you any more righteousness or righteous. Jesus has done it all. Now that's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Now, I grabbed a hold of that really early in my life because I knew there was nothing that I could present to God that would make me worthy. But when I received his righteousness, when I received him, I knew I was worthy before God. Say, I'm worthy because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm worthy because of that, because Jesus has done that for me, and it's absolutely wonderful to recognize that. And so, no matter how we look at ourselves, we must continue to recognize that righteousness constantly flows from Him. It constantly flows from Him. Don't ever look at yourself as an unrighteous creature. Look at yourself as a blood-washed person. And the Bible says, you know, the blood can cleanse us from all sin. Now think about that for a minute, because either you are blood-washed or you're not. You have received the righteousness of Jesus, or you haven't. And what did Jesus say about anybody who would call upon Him? And He would no wise cast out. He would not turn anybody away who called upon Him. So it's very simple. If you called upon Him, He answered. He answered that. Now, when we think of this righteousness that comes from Jesus, and it has came and saved us, nothing we did to earn it, but we, by faith, we appropriate the righteousness of Jesus, and we cannot get righteous any other way. For me, anyway, that's pretty easy to kind of grasp. I'm righteous through Jesus and no other way. Now, if we could take that line of thinking and realize that we cannot live the Christian experience any other way than by the same power that made us righteous. We cannot go about our daily life without appropriating the grace and power of God to manifest in our lives in order to live a Christian life, in order to live right, in order to represent Jesus upon the earth, in order to establish the kingdom even in my home. Even to walk as a Christian, I need the power of God in my life. When I wake up in the morning, as a Christian, I need the power of God in my life. When that alarm goes off, I need the power of God to get up sometimes. If we are going to live for Jesus. So let's kind of try to establish that in our spirits, that we so desperately need the power of God. We need Him. So the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Let's just talk about peace for a couple of minutes. The word peace there, it is a powerful, powerful word. There's much that comes to us when we are in peace. God is a God of peace. Let me read it from Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, the Amplified Bible, Romans 14:17. After all, the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food or drink one likes, but instead it is righteousness, that state which makes a person acceptable to God. So we walk in this kingdom in righteousness, knowing that we are in a state that is acceptable to God. He has made us, He has put us in a state that is acceptable to Him. In peace and in joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, peace, the word means a state of national tranquility. In other words, a nation, you know, we could say right now in the natural, as far as wars are concerned, that the nation is in peace. But there's a greater measure of the peace of God than what we see in the nation of Canada. Peace of God means more than just not being at what we would think of as a physical war. Peace also means security, safety, prosperity, pleasure. Because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Of Christianity is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot and whatsoever sort that is. In other words, peace, the peace of God brings us, or the peace of the kingdom of God brings us into a place that we have no fear of God whatsoever. That we know that God loves us, that God's grace is upon us, that He treats us as children, that He's our Father. Sounds like a good deal to me. That's the peace of God. The word peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom, and I love the description it gives of that. It's completeness, soundness, welfare. It means soundness in body. It means prosperity. It means quiet contentment. It means tranquility. It means friendship. Shalom means even friendship with God. especially in our covenant relationship. The peace of God in Philippians 4:17 is talked about here, and it says that it surpasses all understanding and will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will pass understanding. Well, excuse me, what would that look like? Or what good would it be if it passes our understanding? What good would the peace of God be if we don't understand it? Well, faith doesn't come by understanding. You know, we activate our faith by doing things which we believe. And so when we say we have the peace of God, we got to stop and think, okay, what does that mean? And how do I get it? I tell you, there's silly little things and ways that you can get the peace of God upon your life. There's some more strategic ways. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I know personally from reading the Psalms, I can have peace just flood my soul. I know I can all once in a while stop, and I do this. If things get really rattled in my life, I'll just stop sometimes and think. I thank you for the peace of God right now upon my life. I thank you for the peace of God flowing from my head down to my feet, through my soul realm, my spirit. I thank you for the peace of God that dwells on the inside of me, expressing itself and flowing out through my soul and my body. I thank you for the peace of God. Just meditating on that will bring the peace of God and bring you to a place where you can hear his voice. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that for a minute, the joy. You know, there's at least 244 times that joy is mentioned or alluded to in the Scriptures, at least a whole lot more than that. But 244 times in the Scripture. And this is what the word joy means from a secular dictionary. I didn't go to the Bible and search out the Greek, what the Greek word is there. But in the secular dictionary, it says joy is happiness, it's delight, it's pleasure, it's enjoyment, it's ecstasy, it's elation, it's joyfulness, it's a thrill. Gladness, all these things describe joy. Now think about this, delight, happiness, pleasure, enjoyment, a thrill, gladness. These are things that go along with the kingdom of God. Now we must ask ourselves, are we fulfilling this in our own lives? Are we delighted about living today? Are we taking pleasure in our surroundings? Are we enjoying our surroundings? Are we enjoying our present situation? Do we get a thrill every once in a while? I hope we do. Do we wake up in the morning and look over and see who's next to us and we get that great thrill? Do we have these things? Do we walk in these things? And if we don't, ask why. Ask the question. Ask, Lord, I see that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. I don't feel righteous, Lord. Why? I'm in turmoil, God. I don't feel your peace. Ask the question, why? Lord, I'm going about my day, and I am not very joyful. Ask the question, why? Ask for the power of God for you to live a life of righteousness, peace, and joy. And if you are acquainting that with your circumstance, with what you're going through right now, whether it might be a difficult time or not, you know, it does not have to be relegated to your circumstance. You can be joyful in the midst of a difficult trial. I mean, Paul were whipped because of preaching the gospel. They were put in jail. And at midnight, they were found singing praises unto God. And I'm sure they were joyful too. They were singing to God. And God sent them their deliverance. You know, the more we function in the attributes of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, the more we're going to see heaven manifested in our lives. So we want to come to this place where we realize that God is a good God. He loves us. He cares for us, doesn't want any mean things to come to us. He wants us to live our life out in righteousness, peace, and joy. It's his, and he wants us to have it. It's what the Father has and he wants his children to have. I want my children to enjoy every bit of any good part of my life. I want them to go enjoy every bit of it and beyond it. Father God is the same thing for you and I. He really does desire that. And we could go through scriptures this morning. We talk about, well, John 15:11, Jesus was speaking about, spoke much about joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, Jesus had so much joy at what he was about to walk in that he went to the cross. Because in Hebrews it says, he went there for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame of the cross even, because of the joy that was set before him. It was the joy that he had set before him that gave him the strength and power to go to the cross. Remember, the scripture says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So it was that joy that gave him the power and the ability to go. So stop and think about it. If we don't have joy, ask the Father, where's my joy? Where's that joy from heaven? And the Father will say, it's on the inside of you and it wants to get out. Now, folks, you can be listening to me here and you say, well, Pastor, you're talking about just pie in the sky. It's not real life. Well, you can look at that way. And if you do look at that way, you better learn to like what you've got, because that's what you'll have.
Yes, that's right.
But if you'll stretch yourself in faith, believing that there's a joy far greater than what we've experienced up to this point in our lives available to us, and we can have it, then we'll begin to do things in order to see that joy manifests itself in our life. And some of us have to just stop and do things every once in a while that brings us great joy. We have to get out of this religious work mode that moves in us to think that we always have to be doing something in order to get our worth. And God says, I'm trying to tell you, if you stop long enough, you don't have to do anything else to get any worth. You're already worthy. I've made you worthy. Now I want you to take time and get into some joyful times, some things that make you joy. And if you're like me, there's times that, you know, I've been in places where I work so much that when you do have some time off, you don't know what to do with yourself because you haven't cultivated a time of joy in your life. So you have to work at it. But righteousness, peace, and joy is a part of the kingdom of God, and he wants us to walk in it. There's a number of other scriptures I was going to go through, but I'm not going to go through them because of time. But Jude 1:24 now says, to him, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. With exceeding great joy. He's able to present us before him with not just joy, but exceeding great joy. Can you imagine now when the Father wants us to come to him as his children being exceedingly joyful? Being just coming into his presence, just so excited that it seems like you can't contain yourself. You know, sometimes when you get people really, really excited, now I've seen them before, they just go all around like this and just let a squeal out of them. Because they're so joyful, it just seems like they can't contain it.